And this morning to talk about e-learning and to really talk about the admissions and process and how to register for classes, I have two guests joining me. Megan Meyer, she's the director of e-learning. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And I have Diana Brennan. I meant to ask you, Diana or Diana, as I would say it in Spanish?
It's Diana, thank you.
Diana in English, and she's the admissions and she's one of the admissions and academic advisors, virtual admissions and academic advisor for Howard Community College. Thank you both for joining me this morning. I really, really appreciate it. And we're going to dive right into it because we have a lot of information to share with everybody this morning. So, Megan, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you got to be the director of e-learning at Howard Community College.
Thanks. So I came to HCC about 7 years ago as a history professor, and I still actually teach history courses every spring. I get to teach about American history, but a few years ago, I became the director of e-learning, and I love this job because I get to work with our faculty who love what they're teaching, and they love and are so passionate about helping students. And so that's what I've been doing, and doing a lot of that over the past couple months to help our faculty make this big transition from face-to-face to
online. I'm sure you are busy. But one thing you said, that you've been here for a year. We haven't been on e-learning for a year. So that leads me to believe that HCC has been doing this for longer than Corona has been around.
Oh, yes. So Howard Community College has been doing distance learning or online learning for many, many years, for many decades, in fact. So we have a rich history of teaching online, and it's really evolved as the technology has evolved, so we can have all kinds of really rich experiences for students where they can interact with each other and faculty in all kinds of new ways as the technology has evolved. But yes, I've been in this position for about 3 years. And since that period of time, what we've seen is when I started, we had about 300 faculty who were regularly teaching online. And now we've just trained so many more months to help them look at the new tools and technologies that they need in order to teach subjects that maybe, you know, traditionally would have been taught in the classroom, but have moved into new formats, and we're going to talk about those in a little bit, I think, in order to keep everyone safe.
And that is important to know. It's important for people to know that HCC, this is not new to HCC. We've done this before. I know there's a lot of questions. I know that e-learning is new for a lot of people, but it is not new for HCC, and we've been doing it. I actually took classes when I was a student online. Ooh, and I graduated, I think, at this five, six, 7 years ago, something like that. So we know what we're doing at Howard Community College. Diana, let's find out a little bit about you. What can you tell us about yourself and being an online or virtual admissions and academic advisor at Howard Community College?
Ended up, I was on the college campus for many years. I worked in the test center and then in the advising office, admissions and advising, as an academic and admissions advisor. And we were going to be moving. I was devastated. I was so sad to leave my job, but there was a need for virtual advising. And I said, I can do that. And I signed up and I started the program essentially and built it. And that was about 4 years ago. So we've been doing virtual advising for quite some time. Now, it wasn't highly advertised. I was the only advisor at the time. Then COVID hit. And everybody's a virtual advisor now. So we've had the opportunity to reach students no matter where they're at, which is amazing. And I've met with students who are from all across the world, people who live in India, people who are in Italy, people who are serving in the military in Germany. People here in, you know, across the street from the college. So I've met with students from all over, and it's such a joy to be able to work with students as if we were face to face. And that's the great thing about as we move to, we've moved to a 90% or more e-learning, where, you know, everything is kind of, the students were thrown online. We had the resources available to them, which made it a lot easier for them to continue, I think.
Absolutely.
So that's a little bit about my background.
Megan, so tell us you know, e-learning, it's a new concept, it's a new word, it's something that we're all becoming familiar with. So what does it mean? What is e-learning?
So e-learning is really the ability for, as faculty, us to teach, and as students, the ability for students to learn online. And I think what our students are going to see when they come and join us at HCC is that that's going to be a really rich and engaging experience where they get to work with their faculty members, they get to learn from other students. And our faculty, as we've been talking about, have been doing this for a long time, and they've been doing this for a long time in really different subject matters, right? So we have even a strong tradition of faculty teaching, you know, online Mandarin courses or upper level accounting courses where there's, you know, project-based learning. So we have really innovative faculty, and one of the great things that we have is those faculty members are sharing with each other. And so when students come, that's what they're gonna see. They're gonna get to see that they are gonna learn in an online environment with their faculty member, but also with other students. They're going to feel part of the community.
What are some of the benefits of e-learning? Because I know that a lot of people think of it almost negatively because we are so used to going to a physical building, having that face-to-face interaction with our teachers and our classmates, that it's easy to overlook the benefits of e-learning. So I really want to highlight those today.
Yeah, well, I think that it also depends on, you know, who you are and how you learn best. So we often find that some students who maybe are not the most eager to raise their hand in class, those students find that they get to participate much more in an online course, right? So an online course and the flexible online mode that we're going to talk about in a minute, that is going to allow those students the opportunity to have their voice heard more and to communicate more with their colleagues and with faculty. And we are gonna have a format that we're gonna talk about where you do get to kind of meet and talk with over Zoom your other classmates and your faculty member. So we do have different choices for different students and how they're gonna learn best. And so that'll be something we talk about. But it is flexible too. So we know that many students they might have jobs, they have family commitments, and you know, you have that coursework, but you could decide when to schedule that coursework, especially in the flexible online modality. And so that's a big benefit. And you know, not having to kind of schedule your commute right to and from campus is a time saving. So there's lots of different benefits. You often find that there's more course material that is posted. So you don't have to ask the professor for their notes because those notes are up, right? They're part of the material that are already provided for you. So there's lots of different benefits of online learning as our students are going to see.
I was just going to say,
I'd like to tag on with that. I mean, as an advisor, I work with students who are everyone from coming out of high school to career changers to people who are much older than what we consider a traditional student, right? And so many of them love the online. They just, you know, and in fact, they'll ask me, is this going to be online again? Because they're actually happy about it being online, right? You know, you do get some that are used to the traditional classroom and you kind of have to give them like, you know, a little pep talk on how to get through the class when it's online. But I would say a huge number of people love it. They absolutely love it. They love that flexibility that comes with it. Like Megan said, the lack of the commute. You know, the juggling of family members and trying to get dinner on the table and all of the things that our students are doing, they can do it flexibly with these classes.
You know, when I took my online classes at HEC, I learned time management a little bit better than I had before because as you just said, I knew I had a deadline for my homework. But I also now knew that, okay, I don't have to go to classroom from this time to this time. So I can actually work, you know, for 30 minutes on it before or while dinner is cooking. And then, you know, I can come and finish it up later before I go to bed or it just taught me discipline. It just taught me, you know, time management in a different way, and it allowed me to create my own schedule, and it really empowered me when I was taking. But I do have to say, when I first took the class, I wasn't ready for it, and I withdrew, and I retook it again the following semester, because I personally did not understand what an online class was. Yeah. And that's why we're having this conversation today. So that people know that, yes, it is an adjustment, and it's empowering to know that you have the ability to set your schedule depending on which one you select, which one of the options you select, and that you also have the flexibility to be at home, to work, you know, in your off times, or just really, really gives you a lot of power in the classroom when you're taking a class online.
Oh, I totally agree.
Chris, can I just jump into something you said? So thinking about those skills in order to be a really successful online student. So we have an orientation to online learning that is really built to help empower students to build those skills, to identify what are the skills that they already have, and then to identify if there are any skills that they need to continue to work on. And it provides them videos and workshops that they can enroll in and continue to build their skill set. And so that's available even before you're a student. So if there are individuals who are interested and just curious what's online learning about, what are some of those skills, that's something we can show where that is later, and students can, you know, check that out, see what it's like, look at some of those timing workshops and decide, okay, yeah, that's something that I'm interested in pursuing. I'm really in a good position, or you know, maybe I'll just do one workshop and then I'm going to be ready to go.
So we've talked about the different options that are coming up, and we've said that it's not just one type of class, but there's a couple of different types of classes that are being offered. So Megan, why don't you walk us through, you know, the different types of classes that HEC is offering this upcoming fall semester?
Great, thanks. So Chris, I think the online course that you took a couple years ago, we are calling that Flexible Online. And that is an online course where faculty and students, they're gonna log in at the time that is right for them, right? So dinner needs to get on the table, you know, you have to go to work. Okay, you don't need to log in right that minute, right? So you log in at the time that's best for you, but you are going to have deadlines, right? And you work to meet those deadlines. And the communication in the course is going to take place maybe via your, you know, campus inbox, discussion boards, videos, and online office hours, right? So we're going to have that really rich communication, but that communication isn't going to be necessarily at the same place at the same time, right? Okay. And the students who are going to take these courses, you know, you should think about, you're going to need a little bit more time management skills or self-direction, a bit more independence, but you also have that flexibility, right? So those two things go hand in hand. So that's first option. Second option, we're calling scheduled remote. And this option means, okay, faculty and students are going to log in to the course at the same time and participate in a video chat together via Zoom, okay? And then we're gonna have that highly engaging experience, but it is scheduled. So now we need to block off my schedule from, you know, 11 to 12:30 or something like that. So that's our two different choices. And in your scheduled remote, you're gonna get your immediate feedback to, you know, you have a question, you can get it answered right in that moment from your faculty member. And so students might find that one or the other suits their learning style, or they might find that they want a combination, right? So some of us have found that if we spend a lot of time on video chat, that it can be too much time, you know, but that we want some of that real-time engagement mixed with some other kinds of flexible online. So I think, you know, look for the classes that you need for your program, and you can see the different offerings. The third option is hybrid. And the hybrids are really focused in the certain courses that students need to be on campus in order to meet those course objectives. So they're going to be more in the hard sciences or the health sciences to meet those certain competencies. And the hybrid really means that you're going to spend part of your time online, right? And part of your time face-to-face, just like a hybrid car, right? Part gas, part electric, Okay, so part online, part face-to-face. But it's probably gonna be more online than face-to-face because we're taking the safety of our students so seriously that, you know, there's gonna be fewer students in a room, right, than would typically be in a room, for example, okay? Does that help us see our three choices? Flexible online, scheduled remote, and hybrid.
Absolutely, and it's great to know that there's three choices. There's great to know that there's options. And I love what you said, Megan, about, you know, find a mix that works for you, right? Because if you're like me, I need that interaction. I feed off of people energy. So I think that what would work for me if I was back in school right now would be a mix of flexible with the scheduled classes, right? Where I know that there's certain classes where I'm gonna have my teacher right there, I'm gonna have my classmates right there, and we're gonna be live and have the opportunity to talk and maybe chat. Don't chat, you know, privately about other things, obviously. But, you know, but I also would need, I know that if I put like 12 credits just of that, it would be too much. And I don't think that I could handle that, you know, with my lifestyle here at home. So to have that flexibility that the flexible classes offer, where I can take it at my own pace and my own time, you know, just kind of like guided by the deadlines that come up, I think that that would be a really positive way for me to do it. And, you know, let's talk about the hybrid, since I think that those are like the newest form and the one that most people probably haven't heard of before. When selecting those classes, I know you said that you looked at the classes that really needed that interaction in school, in the hard sciences and things like that. Are we talking maybe about, like, you know, the higher courses at HEC? Are we talking about specific careers? How did you guys select those?
So those tended to be courses where we couldn't meet the course objective without the student being on campus. And so it would be something where the student needed access to a chemistry lab in order to do the chemistry experiments, or a health science student in a nursing program where, in order to finish the program, the student needs to perform certain competencies, right, at the end of that program. So, you know, it's gonna be these specific cases. There's some in the arts as well, where they might need access to certain computers or certain studios, but it's really, you know, trying to look at what does the student need to learn in the course, and do those things require a face-to-face presence? And then keeping those hours to just the things that require that face-to-face presence to minimize, you know, the any risk, right? So that's how the hybrids are working this year under this circumstance. So it's, you know, you're probably not going to see an English course in a hybrid right now. You might have seen that last year, but not currently. But you might see a biology course or a chemistry course, and not the lecture component. It might be the lab component this time.
You also mentioned safety, Megan, and I really want to emphasize that, because it is important. It is in everybody's mind. You know, coronavirus is still with us, and that's one of the concerns as parents, as students, as everybody continues to plan, you know, for the future in education. So some of the good measures to just keep in mind, because I know that HEC has, you know, a set of rules, and I know that it will be shared with everybody who has a hybrid class, and teachers will provide it with information, and there's a lot of resources on our website as well. But just some of the good measures, some of the resources, some of the things that everybody, staff, faculty, and students should keep in mind as they come to campus.
Yeah, so of course, everyone who's going to come to campus is going to be wearing a mask, right? So that's the number one thing. We always want to be washing our hands and using hand sanitizer all the time and not touching our faces. And then if you do not feel well, stay home. Let your faculty member know. Our faculty are going to be so flexible, right? We would rather work with somebody from home than have anybody, you know, risk the health of others by being out and about. So I think those are just some, you know, some good sense safety measures that we should all take in kind of all aspects of our lives right now. And just know that safety is really at the heart heart of, you know, safety for our students, for the community, is really at the heart of HCC's plan. So that's why, you know, the decisions were made the way they were. And just, you know, everyone act responsibly so that we can all have a safe year this year.
So Diana, when you're talking with students and when they're trying to select their classes for the upcoming semesters, you know, especially now that this is a different environment, how does that conversation look like, and how can they really decide which type of class is the best option for them?
So what I would like to do when we're having that conversation with students is I like to show them our planning, which is the tool that students need in which to kind of select their choices, create their learning timeline, and also pick out the classes that are going to be best for them. And sometimes it isn't a choice of, do you want scheduled remote? Do you want hybrid? Do you want flexible online? It will depend on the courses they need for their plan. Sometimes it might be all online. They may not have a choice for a hybrid or a scheduled Zoom. Okay. So if I have the power to share here, let's see if I got that. I can go ahead and share screen. So if I have a student and we're meeting together like this, and we'll go ahead and verify who they are. So I'll always ask for an ID. And then we're going to go ahead and get into their self-service together, and we're going to take a look at those classes. So if I'm on Howard Community College's website and I click Tools and Resources, I have an option here to get into My HCC. Students who don't know how to log in, that's something that we also work with advising to help them know how to log into their MyHCC account. Their student portal, or what we call the MyHCC, is going to look a little different from mine. So here's the student. And many times students will say, well, how do I even have access to any of this stuff? Like my email, it's in here, it's in your portal. Okay. Same with Canvas. And again, we've talked a little bit about Canvas, but for students who are brand new, they don't know what this is. All right, it is a learning platform. So your whole class is kind of housed in this software. So this is where your calendar would be. This is where your assignments are gonna be. This is where you're going to have your syllabus, which is gonna describe your whole semester of learning. This is where you're gonna interact with the other students, where you're gonna interact with your instructor, where the videos might be. Everything's gonna be in Canvas, okay? And what I'm going to show you today, though, is self-service. Self-service as a student is where you're going to have a whole host of information available to you about your college experience, your financial aid, your finance, et cetera, and student planning. This is the important part today for e-learning. So if I click into planning, you're going to have an opportunity to view your major under Go to My Progress, and you're going to be able to plan and register. This is the important one now for your question. Because this is where you're going to find out what the classes look like. So if I know that I'm going to take Math 141, for example, and I type it in, I'm going to be able to go into View Available Sections for that math class. And I notice that there's summer in here, so I'm going to scroll past summer, and I'm going to get to fall. I can also use the left side here to filter the classes down if I want to find out just what's for fall. So if I'm looking here, we're going to notice that math, and I chose math on purpose because I know that these are scheduled Zoom classes, okay? So that's kind of, I think, too, goes back to Megan, how did you choose what's needed, whether it's flexible online, whether it's scheduled Zoom or hybrid? I think most students do a little bit better in math when they have the demonstration right in front of them and they have their instructor to help walk them through. And we get that on the advising side a lot because students say, I'm not going to do math on my own. There are opportunities for online math, but not everybody's set up for that. Not everyone feels that they can learn math kind of on their own without having somebody there to describe it for them. So if we notice it says scheduled Zoom, if we scroll to the bottom, there may even be some regular online. Yes, here's some regular online. So you can see the difference. You've got scheduled Zoom or you've got online. So with math, you have a choice, okay? Now, if you'll notice like this one's full, so we would have to go to the next one. So if I'm working with a student, I'm gonna help them pick the correct classes for their schedule. And then we're gonna populate it in their timeline so that they can register for classes. again, it's a conversation we have with the student. You know, if a student feels very comfortable in math, then online might be the better option for them. If they feel like they need that instruction and they really like the classroom setting, then they're going to need the scheduled Zoom. And they're not going to have this for every class. Not every class is offered in both formats. And like Megan said, with the hybrid, that's going to be a very small selection this term. So for students who are interested in that flexibility of the online environment, this semester is perfect for them, right? They're going to have lots of opportunity for online classes. Did that answer the question?
It sure did, yes. And thank you for walking us through this process right here, because I know a lot of the students have questions. And this was one of the most confusing things for me when I first started trying to figure out, okay, my schedule and how to navigate registration and how to do things, you know, as I moved on with my semester. And I love that it's just a simple step in math. You have to know, now, would it be better to be with an advisor and meet with an advisor so that an advisor can walk you like you just did through this process and together select that, can the students do this by themselves?
It depends on the student. Some students have been doing it long enough, they feel perfectly comfortable with that process. There are some students that have been doing it for a long time and still feel better meeting with an advisor just to make sure that what they've picked fits into their program. The goal always in this, and we push this, is to pick classes that fit in your program, right? Because if you're going to complete a program, you want to take classes that match the program requirements. And that's where I think sometimes students feel like they want that extra help to make sure that they do complete the requirements and that they are working towards graduation. So certainly it's up to the student. If they feel like they want to meet with an advisor, then absolutely. If they feel like they can have it all handled on their, you know, by themselves and they've got it under control, great. You know, it works either way. And we're here for them regardless. Sometimes I'll even have students who just email me and say, here's what I signed up for. Will it work? You know, and that's just a quick check. And I'll say, yeah, everything looks great. Or, ooh, you know, what about this one choice? And that way, they feel like they're getting that support without maybe having to meet, you know? So yeah, we have lots of opportunities. If a student wants to get virtual advising or has questions, they can email advising@howardcc.edu. I also do monitor another email box, which is virtualadvising@howardcc.edu. So either one of those aspects, they can actually email and we will set them up with an advisor.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask her to show the filter on one of those searches.
Do you want to see it real quick?
Is that okay? Do we have a second for that, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, the filter is fabulous. I don't know that students, realize.
Yeah. So on the left-hand side, can you show where they can look at the scheduled remote and just glance and see that there are online and scheduled remote options on that left-hand side with the filter?
Yes, absolutely. So if we start up at the beginning, you'll notice that there's a lot of opportunity for filtering the classes. So you can look at just open and waitlisted sections, or you can look at open sections only, which is very helpful because as classes fill, maybe you don't want to have to bother to weed through all of them, right? You can look at different subjects. You can look at the location. So there is online, there's scheduled Zoom. Some of these you're gonna see don't really apply to you because they may be high schools like a dual learning. But basically between the online and the scheduled Zoom, if you wanted to narrow it down further and say, well, I really don't have time for a scheduled Zoom, I'd rather do it on my own time, then you can just click the online. And these are all sections that are purely online.
And with open sections, right? And so I think that's so helpful if you're in a rush.
And it doesn't mean that these are only offered as online. You can then go into scheduled Zoom and see which ones are available for scheduled Zoom, okay? So like math had both. Now you may find that some classes don't have both and they may show up on the online, or do have both and they may show on online search or the scheduled Zoom. And then sometimes too, because with scheduled Zoom, you've got specific days that you have to be there in front of your computer. Even if you're not traveling to campus, you're gonna be in front of your computer. So if you only have Mondays and Wednesdays available, you can even narrow it down further by the day of the week. So some people like weekends, and then they even have Saturday in here. You'll notice there are three sections of some classes that are offered on Saturday, and that's super helpful. And students can also look by instructor. They can look by course type. This is a fabulous tool, this filter. I try to show students all the time because this is so much better than trying to weed through all the different types of classes. You can narrow it down better.
Okay, thanks, Diana. Sorry, Chris. I just thought that that might be a helpful trick for students who are, instead of having to scroll through everything, maybe able to click a couple buttons on the left-hand side and find what they need in a snap.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going back to when I was a student and I was trying to select my classes and my schedule. And I remember many times I ended up choosing a class and then another one, I was like really excited about this other class. And then when I went to register, it told me conflict, you know, this class happens at the same time as this class. Do you guys have any tips so that students don't run into those problems that I was having where I was selecting all of my classes at the same time? Well, because like you just said, Diana, right? Like my days were Mondays and Wednesdays, and I knew that I was available from this time until this time. And then I ended up choosing all of the classes that happened on those days at that time. And then obviously having conflicts when I went to register.
So it sounds like back when you were doing it, we didn't have self-service. And it was tricky. We used to hand out these papers so that you could kind of map it out on a calendar. Self-service has a calendar function. So if you were to pick out your classes and there's a conflict, the computer's going to tell you there's a conflict. And you don't have to wait until you've registered and then have to refigure it. So you can go into the calendar section as you start populating classes. Now, again, this is going to probably be more of a regular term because right now you're probably not going to find that many scheduled Zoom classes that are going to interfere just because of the topics. You know, if you're talking about a math class, you're usually taking one math class, right? And there may not be many others that have scheduled Zooms. There are going to be some. So yes, you would need to pay attention to the calendar just to make sure that they are fitting into the categories. That's probably one of the hardest things students have to do is figure out a schedule. And as advisors, we've done it for so many years that we can kind of pinpoint and figure that out. But the tool, the self-service, is amazing for that. It really is. It's a great
Wonderful.
Tool. I always advise, you know, if you're not familiar with it, go play. It is a very user-friendly program. Often as an advisor, we save whatever was in there the last time we spoke. So if you go in and you kind of play with it and you go, oh man, Diana, I messed it up. I none of the classes are the same anymore. I can go and pull it up and say, no worries. That way people feel more confident about playing in it. You know, and I think that's one of the things with the virtual world and with all of these tools we give them is this kind of sense of being a little bit nervous to get started. And we just say, go for it. You know, get in there and play with it. Get it, especially because Canvas. I mean, Canvas that's one of those things that if you're not familiar with Canvas, you know, and uploading your assignments and, you know, reach out to people, talk to your instructor, you know, make sure you're doing it right. Don't feel like you can't go out and say, you know, hey, I don't know how to do this. Make sure you've reached out to them. Watch the orientation, like Megan said, you know, make sure you're comfortable with these tools. There's nothing wrong with that.
The other thing I will say is, you know, we have 24/7 support for Canvas. So, you know, if you're working in the middle of the night, whenever you're working over the phone or via chat, there is somebody you can call and get help with Canvas. Mm-hmm. And we also have a Canvas student training too. And that's specifically on Canvas, on exactly what you're talking about, you know, which is maybe I want to get Canvas app on my phone. Maybe I want to know how to do a discussion board. I want to know how to submit an assignment. Those exact questions are in our Canvas orientation.
Yeah, and thank goodness, because it's a learning curve and it's okay.
Yeah, and you may, you know, be asked to use different tools in different kinds of classes, mm-hmm. but, you know, our faculty are going to point you in the right direction. We have the orientation for you. And then if you have a specific question or problem, we have the built-in support, that one person who's going to answer the phone or answer a chat and walk you through on your computer, you know, how to get the help you need.
Now, Diana, you showed us how to select the classes. Is that all students have to do? Do they just go on there, the planners select their classes, and are they registered, or is there a couple of extra steps that they need to follow in order to make sure that they're fully registered?
Do you want me to show that to you?
Please, absolutely.
Yeah. So when students go into student planning, they're going to have a progress section. Now, mine doesn't have a major, so I'm going to just plug one in. And let me re-sign in, because for safety reasons, it does sign us out. So if it doesn't work, you just sign back in. And I'm going to go to progress, and I'm going to say, I'm just going to plug in a program for myself right now so we can see what it's going to look like. Let's say I'm a general studies student. In the 2021 catalog. So if you notice self-service, right now all my stuff's in red. It's like a traffic signal, okay? If it's red, stop, pay attention. You're gonna need that class. If it's green after a while and you start taking classes, that's good to go. So you've basically taken the class. As it starts filling up in green, you're getting very excited because you know you're getting towards graduation, okay? Yellow, kind of you're getting there. This class is planned, for example. So if I wanted to pick out a class, let's say I wanted to go and pick out an oral communication class from this section because I know I need one. And a student will look in here and go, well, wait, there's no classes. So how am I supposed to pick it out? They can hit search. Once they hit search, every single one of these classes is a possibility, which is really exciting. Some students feel it's a little overwhelming, but it is pretty exciting. So if I look at filter though, I can narrow it down because maybe I look and say, well, I'm not much of a language person. I really struggle with languages. But yeah, I could probably do speech class. So again, I can narrow it down. All right, we have online, no scheduled Zooms for this one. Okay, so these are all gonna be online classes. So if I go to view available sections, and I should have just clicked fall because there's the summer classes. Now I'm gonna look at a class. These are all waitlisted, so these are filling up. Students need to come and get signed up for their classes because some of them are filling. Here's one with plenty of seats. If I add this section to my schedule, some people also get a little wiggy about these yellows. These are requisites. That's a fancy word. It really just means you have to have some kind of skill prior to taking this class. And this particular one means that you need English capability. You have to be eligible for English 121, which is our English composition. These will not block you if you're eligible. If you're not eligible, you will not be able to sign up for this section and you will need to see an advisor for the next step, okay? But let's say I'm ready for this one. I'm gonna add the section to my schedule. This is like a cart on an online shopping tool, okay? You've gone in, you've picked out some classes, they're kind of sitting in your cart, they're just waiting for you to decide if you want to register. So I'm going to go back to plan and register, and I'm going to make sure and look up here. Well, I don't want summer anymore. I'm looking at fall. And I have picked out a couple classes on mine. Now, you'll notice the physical science has some times picked out. Okay, so they're going to show up on that calendar. This is the calendar you were talking about. So if I picked another class out during this time, it's going to tell me there's a conflict. I can't register. All right. Now, because this is an online class, this next one that I picked out, it's just down here because again, it's flexible, right? There's no particular time unless there's a deadline within those classes, but that's gonna be determined when I start the class. So here's the register button on mine. I'm gonna hit register. And once I do that, now again, I'm not gonna be able to sign up for this class because it doesn't recognize that I've taken the requisite. So it's gonna block me at this point. A student who is eligible will hit register. It's going to turn green. Again, good to go. You know you're registered. So if students look at it and go, okay, everything's in green, good. They're perfect. So the color coding really helps them know if they've successfully registered or not. If they haven't and it's still sitting there, then they know there was a problem. Maybe they didn't meet the requisite. Maybe they didn't pick out a section that was appropriate. There's a few reasons why it wouldn't go through. But this is it. So Planner is very simple for students to be able to register on their own. It's also very user-friendly in that if I say, what was I thinking? Physical science, no way. I can just remove it and it's gone and I don't even have to worry about sitting there, okay? Same with speech. If I said, "Yeah, I don't want that one either," then I just remove it and I can start fresh with my progress. Did that help?
Absolutely. It looks good. It's very, you know, it looks very simple. It looks very self-explanatory. I would probably be one of those students who still would like to talk to an advisor, maybe have and say, you know, these are the classes that I want to take. These are the classes that I'm thinking about taking. What do you think? Especially if I run into issues, like you said, you know, like the prerequisites and stuff. So definitely for all of our students, you know, talk to an advisor.
Because we have a lot of transfer students. We have students who bring credit in from somewhere else. And they're like, but I took the class. Well, of course you took the class. It just doesn't recognize it in our system yet. So we as advisors can use unofficial copies of transcripts to say, oh, okay, yeah, you took English. So I'm going to put it in the system. And now when you sign up for that class, it's not going to block you. Or for students who plan on staying at Howard and pull that credit in, they may want to get an official evaluation done so that those credits come in and they don't have to go to an advisor each time to get waivers, or what we call it. So yeah, there's definitely, so this is a great program for this, especially for the online, you know, we're in an online environment. How nice to have a tool that you can sit down with, play with, become more comfortable with. And if you still have questions, still have the opportunity to speak to an advisor about it. So,
absolutely.
Really nice.
Now, we're talking about registration. We know that the semester is about to start. Is it too late? Is it too late for students to go ahead and register now for classes?
No.
It's just the perfect time.
Yeah, you'll notice when I looked in there, there are some classes that are filling up. So that's the risk you run by waiting too late, is that classes will fill. I mean, people say, what's the last day I have to, you know, that I can register? Well, you can register right up till the day of classes, but are those classes open? And that's where, you know, you've got to make some decisions. Do you want to get started now? What I would recommend is starting sooner rather than later, because if you come in and realize, oh, maybe you need a placement exam to determine which level of English or which level of math, you want to get that started. You don't want to wait. You also want to figure out if you want to use a payment plan. If you want to use financial aid, those are things you want to get started now too. So the sooner the better on registration. I think that there's been a little bit of an indecision at this point. Students were kind of not sure, you know, how our class is going to be run. Well, we know for sure how classes are going to be run now, okay? And because we know what the online opportunities are, the scheduled Zoom, like, now's the time to register. Get in there, schedule the time you want, get the online class that you want so that you don't miss out and end up with a wait list. There are wait lists, not a guarantee that you'll get into the class, but there's definitely a possibility. So if there's really something that you were hoping for and it's wait listed, feel free to also do that, you know, just to make sure that you have that opportunity. But you also might want a backup plan. So that's why speaking with an advisor is good.
Yeah, the other thing I would say, a benefit of registering now is you have the time to get comfortable, you know, take that orientation to online learning. We also have a new student orientation also in there that you can take. And our faculty open up their Canvas sites usually a couple days ahead of time, maybe 2 days ahead of time. And in order for you to review the syllabi, kind of see what the orientation materials look like. And that is so helpful. So, you know, the sooner that you are, you know, registered for your courses, the more time that you have to get really comfortable, to do all the things that are really important that Diana just said, to make you successful in your entire college career. And then also, you know, here in this particular course, right, the, you know, however many courses you're taking that semester, to get you comfortable in that course. So,
And you've got a good point, Megan, because I often tell students, because sometimes students want to bite off a little more than they can chew sometimes. I always say during that first couple days, map it out. You know, look at your syllabi for look at each syllabus in each class. You know, the syllabus for somebody who's not familiar is going to tell you what your whole semester is going to look like. When are your assignments due? What topics are you going to cover? When are your exams? You can actually start using a calendar and populating that information on there.
And Diana, one way to do that is so easy, and because all of the assignments are going to be are in Canvas, they can just use their Canvas calendar. Mm-hmm. And so if you review your calendar in Canvas, you will be able to see all of your assignments for every single class. You can push a button, take a class off, push a button, put the class back on, and you'll be able to see those periods where you're a little bit busier or the periods where you're not as busy. And I will say that in college, you know, I always work 2 or 3 jobs. And so I, you know, really hear our students, I'm empathetic For my students, when they have so much work to do and they're working so hard, right, in their academic life. And so one thing that I talk about with my students at the beginning of the semester is looking at that Canvas calendar mm-hmm. and saying, you know, can you switch shifts with somebody during midterm week, right? During a week when you're going to have like that heavy load. So there's lots of strategies that you can mm-hmm. use in order to be, you know, really, really successful in your academic career. But, you know, getting registered and getting settled is really the first step. So, you know.
Now, I know that we can plan and plan and plan, but many times life just comes at us fast, you know, yeah. and I think we all learned that in the last few months, right? Are there other options? So what if somebody misses the, you know, August 22nd deadline? Mm-hmm. Are there options, other ideas that you guys can give them? Are there classes that are maybe starting later? What's available for them?
There are classes that are later start classes that you'll be able to see in Student Planner, as well as Laurel College Center classes. And so, you know, one of the benefits of Diana showing us those filters is we saw the location filter, and the Laurel College Center, sorry, filter will allow you to see classes that start about a week after our courses. So if you couldn't get the class that you wanted and you tried the wait list and there's an option at LCC, you might be able to add that one. As well as some late start options. I don't know, Diana, do you have any other ideas?
Yeah, well, so the late starts typically are like mid-September. That would be, you know, when maybe you can't start right away. Maybe you have vacation plans for the last week of August, and it's not a good idea to be on vacation an entire week if you don't plan on working on your online class, right? So you probably want to start a little bit later. So the mid-September ones are a fantastic option. We have a lot of students who do that. There are sometimes a few that you could start later, not as many, but we certainly can hook you up if you come and visit with us to try to figure out a class that's a late start. The Laurel, again, remember, now for those of you who aren't familiar with Laurel College Center, it is a campus in Laurel. It's more like a big building, but it houses the PG Community College, Howard Community College. It's a collaboration. We all offer classes there. Normally, the Laurel College Center classes are going to be at Laurel, which are more convenient for students who maybe live a little closer to there than campus, but right now they're going to be online too. So don't feel like if you pick that one and you live across the street from, you know, in Columbia and you pick Laurel, that's going to be an inconvenience, because this semester they're all online anyway, right? So don't feel like if you see the Laurel one and it starts a week later that's going to be a problem. It's perfectly acceptable and will work just fine for all of your program requirements. So yeah, Late Start and Laurel are great. And if something did happen and you weren't able to start when you thought you were going to start, that's not going to stop you from starting in the future. Come visit with an advisor still. We can get you set up to make sure that you're prepared for whenever you're going to start. Okay. We can get you going.
And I love that what you just said, Diana, because that's really the idea here, is to really, you know, have an honest look at where you are today, what your goal is, where you want to go. Talk to somebody who can help you map it out. When I started taking one class every semester. Mm-hmm. And is that ideal? No, it's not ideal, but I was moving forward. And it took me much longer to graduate and to obtain my degree and to get where I wanted to get, but I got there. You know, I got there, I graduated, and it was a matter of, as you said, really, you know, being honest and saying, I'm not going to put a whole lot of classes right now on my schedule when I'm working full time. I at the time I had both of my kids, I just thought it would be too much. Then at the end, I ended up being a full-time student, having like 5-6 classes in one semester, because I was like, I need to just, you know, my priorities changed. And I was like, I just really want to graduate now. And I was taking classes every semester. That's when I got introduced to online classes, because it really just worked for my lifestyle at that time. Mm-hmm. So have that conversation with yourself, I think is the place where you need to start. Register for classes, plan it out. If you thought, well, I, like Diana said, I'm going to be away on that week, so I'm not going to be able to register, you know, because classes start on the 22nd, and that week, I'm just going to be tied up, and I don't want to set myself up for failure. Now, you know that you have options. So come talk to somebody at Howard Community College. Don't stop yourself from pursuing your education. If you are a four-year school student who is maybe thinking, well, since they're not going to offer on, you know, on my institution the full experience that I was expecting, I'm just going to take a year off. Why not, instead of taking a year off, come to HCC, continue to advance your career, continue to take classes that you're going to be able to transfer over, meet with an advisor. There's a lot of agreements. There's a lot of seamless agreements that will allow you to transfer those classes as if you had taken them at your four-year institution. So there's a lot of benefits for coming for a fraction of the cost. You're going to be home, you're going to be safe, and you're going to continue to advance. You're not going to step back in your goal, but rather going to continue to move forward to your education and to your goals. We are only about 5 minutes left here in our conversation, and I know that it's a lot of information that we've shared. Please feel free to watch this as many times as you need. If you're in the process of registering, you know, go back to Facebook and pause it and stop it and use it as a, I don't know, as a manual, maybe, as you know, as a guideline as you're going through Canvas and you're going through the planner and as you're registering for classes. And mimic what Diana was showing us earlier as she was sharing the screen. But if students have more questions, how can they get in touch with both of you, Diana and Megan? Where can they get more information?
So Megan?
I think we should send all the students to advising, admissions and advising, and then they'll send the students that they need to with questions over to us.
Well, actually, where's that link for the e-learning?
Yes, absolutely.
For the orientation?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I will share a screen.
Yeah, that would be fabulous. And then if they want to come to advising, they can just email advising@howardcc.edu. And that email is triaged that you will be given to an advisor who will contact you. And, you know, if you want a Zoom appointment so that you can meet with an advisor, if you just prefer a phone call, or if you want to just ask your questions in email, those are all possibilities. Zoom appointments are nice. I like Zoom appointments personally because I get to show you the screen and we get to go through your schedule. We get to talk about your concerns, and we can do that in a way that's very much like if we were in an office.
And you technically, the sound, at least for me, seems to be better than on a phone call many times. So I personally have become a fan of Zoom. And so I'm even saying people will see you Zoom.
But I will say that everybody's got different connections, you know, in their house. Yes. So because sometimes people are hiding out in their kids' room because that's where the signal works best. Or they had to step outside because they were at work and they had their mask on, so they'd take that off for a minute. So yeah, there's all these different situations. But I think what that demonstrates is how flexible e-learning is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just here on the homepage. And if you go to Student Life and you go to the new student orientation right here, that's going to take us to this page. And if you click on this link, even before you have had the chance to register, you can get in here and create your own username and password and access the orientation. So I will send you the link to this, but that's the way to get in. And then once you're a student, you'll have access to this through Canvas. And you'll want to use the one in Canvas because your faculty members might be encouraging you to do this orientation and asking you for the little certificate at the end. But if you're just curious about online learning and you want some of those resources, this is the way to get to it. And it does have many, many email addresses, like the admissions and advising email address, embedded throughout the orientation. So if you forget an email address, they're all on the website, but this is another good place to go find that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that any orientation you can do or any video that you can see to feel more comfortable, because it's really about being comfortable. You know, some people are just not comfortable with the online. And, you know, I think what happened with COVID is it forced a lot of us to go outside of our comfort zone, but we realized we can do it.
Yeah. And I think absolutely. The important thing is to know that you're going to have so many people here to support you, mm-hmm. and that we have this, you know, long tradition in online learning and a lot of expertise.
Absolutely. Yeah. And always ask. Don't be afraid to ask. I think that's probably what I come across most with students is, you know, they're kind of programmed for so long, maybe through high school and or through a career, not to always reach out and be their own, you know, advocate. And it's fine. That's what college is about. It's about go to your professor, tell them concerns, ask them questions, you know, and they're there to help you. And once they realize that, once a student gets to that point, I think that their education really changes at that level because they realize it's collaborative. They're not just being told and taught, but they're a part of the conversation and it's empowering. It really is.
You know, I hope that this conversation has really been helpful to everybody listening, for everybody watching. It is a new thing. It is something that we are not as familiar with. But as you saw, it is something that we can learn and it's something that can become really easy and secondhand for everybody. Is there anything else either one of you guys would like to say before we wrap our conversation up today?
I just want to thank you. This has been nice. It's been a great conversation to kind of review something that's just going to be incredibly important to so many people if they haven't already, you know, gotten on board with online learning. So.
Yeah, I will thank you as well. And to say to people who are thinking about enrolling, you know, if it has been, you know, a struggle with technology in the past, you know, just to take a deep breath if you're, you know, encounter a challenge and to look out, you know, to play with it and to look out for the many, many resources that we have for you here, because we're ready for you, we're ready to support you and to help you in your next endeavor.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Diana, so much for, you know, enlightening us, for walking us through the process, for really giving us information on how HEC is going to work this semester and making us feel comfortable that we can come and that HEC is ready and is open and is flexible and that you guys are there to help us as we have questions this semester. Thank you both for your time. I really appreciate it.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.